You want to turn with me in your Bibles to the 12th chapter of 2 Corinthians. I'd like to read a little scripture for you here, beginning with verse 7 of the 12th chapter. Paul is writing. He says, "To keep me from being conceited because of these surpassing great revelations, there was given me a thorn in my flesh, a messenger of Satan to torment me. Three times I pleaded with the Lord to take it away from me, but he said to me, 'My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore I will boast all the more gladly about my weaknesses, so that Christ's power may rest on me. That is why, for Christ's sake, I delight in weaknesses, in insults, in hardships, in persecutions, in difficulties. For when I am weak, I am strong.'" Years ago, I think I might have used this illustration, but in thinking about what I was going to say today, even if I've said it before, I'm going to say it again, because it brings to focus what I'm going to say. But there was an international conference was held by religious leaders on this very subject: what sets Christianity apart from all the other major religions, everyone. And there was a lot of discussions that were going on among the ministers that were gathered at this conference. And they thought maybe, well, it's because God came in human form in Christianity. And they thought, no. You take Muslims, they think that, Prophet Muhammad and it wasn't that. They argued about that maybe it was love or sacrifice or the resurrection and one thing or another. And as they were talking about this, C.S. Lewis came in. He had been running a little late. He came in and he asked what they were talking about. He said, "We are discussing what it is that sets Christianity apart from all other religions." And he said, "That's easy. It's grace. No other religion has the grace of the Lord." And so we want to talk about tonight what grace does. In this verse that I read in chapter 12, Paul was complaining, if you want to use that word, but he was sharing about that he had a thorn in the flesh. I don't know what type of thorn it might be. It might have been some impediment in his body, in his speech, or in his intellect. I don't know what it was. But it was bothering him. And he prayed to the Lord three different times and asked him to take it away. And God said, "No." He says, "My grace is sufficient for you." And so I want to say tonight that whatever your circumstances are, whatever you are dealing with, God's grace is sufficient. And when troublesome times come, God giveth more grace. Grace is there for whatever we need. God's grace seeks us out. God's grace is continually, as He looks upon us, is supplied to meet whatever need we have. There are those who will tell you, if we don't pray, that if you pray and don't see a positive result happen in your life, it's because of a lack of faith. I had that happen to me before I lost my eye in the Nashville church. We were pastoring there. And there was, well, actually, he was my song leader. And he just kept telling me, "Jack, if you had more faith, God would heal your eye." And of course, I had put it in God's hands. And whatever God did was okay. But he would not have that. He was certain that I didn't have enough faith for God to heal me. Well, God don't always answer the way that you want Him to. I had 3 surgeries on this eye before they took it out. After each surgery, I lay flat on my face on the couch for 6 weeks at the time. I stayed flat on my face for 18 weeks, one right after another. About every other month, they did surgery. I was in 2001. It was 2000. That was the worst year of my life. But I went in the last time down in Tallahassee and I talked to the doctor. And he hated so bad to tell me. He says, "There's nothing more than we can do. It's a growth behind the retina of my eye, and every time they take it out, it'd come back. We're going to have to take the eye out." And I said, "Well, so be it." And then I was in the whole area for the kidney surgery. And he said, "I want to pray with you." I said, "No, Doc, I want to pray for you." And I prayed for him there. I think God brought me to that moment to pray for him. He had a tumor in his head that he had surgery in the next week or the following one to remove the tumor from his brain. I don't know where I'd let him operate on me if I'd have known that. But God took care of his need, and God put it on me to pray for him, and the grace of God brought us both through. It was God's grace. Now I want to share you some of the outreach of God's grace. God's grace is enough to save you, wherever you are. Whatever is going on in your life, God's grace is sufficient to meet that need. It thrills me to see the grace of God moving into the heart of a person, and it brings him to salvation. Last Sunday night here, a man from the center, a Christian family center, was kneeling here. His name was George. He had once been a preacher. He had fallen from grace, so to speak. He got involved with drugs, and he was down at the clinic. And I was praying for 2, and God kind of led me up to pray for this one individual. And I leaned close to him and asked him, "How could I help him pray?" He said, "I've been so long away from God. I want him to take me back." And I quoted him some scriptures. And then I began to walk him through the prayer. And about the close of the sinner's prayer, he gripped my arms and he said, "It's happened." God's grace came into that man, forgave his trespasses, and restored him back in his sight. God's grace is sufficient. And we read stories of people and situations that is unbelievable, and it'd be easy to mark them off that God cannot save that person. And yet, through someone sharing the gospel, sharing a word of truth, that person is convicted and brought to the Lord. I think sometimes that we fall short when we're praying to be saved to grasp the complete significance of what God will do in our life if we let Him come in and save us. I think sometimes we pray that we get to feel a little better. But when we get saved, we really need to let God know what's going on in our life and claim His promise, because God's grace is able to save us to the uttermost. It is a gift of God. Nothing that we can do to earn it. If you had all the money in the world, you couldn't buy God's grace. But it's a free gift. I've used this illustration before. If I come to you and offer you a gift, it's yours, and you shake your head and turn away, you have missed it. The gift is yours. And it's the same way with God's grace. Until you receive it, it's there for everybody. But until you receive it, it's not yours. You have to be able to, or be determined to let go and let God. For God's grace is sufficient. When we think about we can't be good enough. That's what I was going to cover next. We try to straighten up our lives. Well, I'm going to church. I'm going to do better. That's good, coming to church. Getting your life straight. And a lot of people do try to straighten up their lives. But that doesn't bring salvation. Only God can save us through His grace. All of the other religions of the world, they cannot save you because the price hasn't been paid and grace isn't offered. And the gift of salvation isn't there. God is the only one that can come into a person's heart and touch that heart and clean that heart and set that heart free. God is able to save to the uttermost all that come to Him. I know it's true because God saved me. God saved me when I was lost. And you could say the same thing. God saved you when you were lost out in the world. I went to church occasionally with my mom and dad, Primitive Baptists. But until I met Lois and I was 21 years old, I had never been to Sunday school. I'd never really been a part of a church. I had no substance whatever of the Bible. I just didn't have it. But a change came in me when God saved me. In Crestwood Gardens Church of the Nazarene in Moultrie, Georgia. Church is closed now. But God's grace saved me. Secondly, God's grace will seal you. What are we talking about when I say God's grace will seal you? There is nothing, absolutely nothing, that can take you out of the Father's hand. Nothing. Our salvation is made strong by the promise of God that He will never forsake us, that He will stand true to us. The only way we can lose our salvation is we decide to ourselves and turn away from God. But Satan, he can't pluck us out of God's hand. All the trials and the tribulations that you might be going through, those things won't pluck you out of God's hands. Nothing will. You're safe in the hands of the Lord. You can rest. When God saves you, you can rest in the assurance that God will not forsake you. He will keep you, and He will never leave you. To me, that is so important. There's times in my life, and I'm sure they are you, and I come, things batter me, and I get down in my spirit. Seem like God's far away. You have those times? And you wonder, does God really love me? Have I lost it? No. No, God's still there. He is still there. He lets you go through these valleys. You find strength in the valley. But God doesn't leave you there. He walks through the valley through the shadow of death. He will never leave us. I've been in some situations in my life. I had depended on that promise. Times when I could not help myself. Could not find a way. But make it. Only by the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I mentioned that we cannot be good enough. Our goodness to God is like filthy rags in His hands. It's only grace. Only grace that allows us and keeps us in the center of His will. Ephesians 2, 6 and 7 says, He also raised us up with Him and seated us with Him in heaven in Christ Jesus, so that the coming ages He might display the immeasurable riches of His grace and kindness to us in Christ Jesus. Paul is writing this to let us know that we haven't made that yet. But actually, as we walk with the Lord, our spirits fill, as we become part of the kingdom and of serving God, that we're sitting with God. That God is right there, right near us, and ready to help us. When they were building the Golden Gate Bridge, they got way behind in the construction of it. Several men had fallen off the bridge to their death. And the men spent so much time holding on till they couldn't work. And so the experts began to try to think of a way to solve this problem. And finally one of them said, "What about a net?" And so they built a net and strung it all the way under the bridge where they were building. And it wasn't for long that the work was caught up and they began to get ahead of schedule. A couple of men fell into the net, but they weren't hurt. See, it was the confidence that whatever happened, they were still safe. Even if they failed, they were not going to be killed. It is this confidence in us, in the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that we know that He'll hold us steady. And even when we fall, His grace will catch us. It is a marvelous thing, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. God's grace is enough to change you. 1 Peter 5:10 says, "Now the God of all grace, who called you to His eternal glory in Christ Jesus, will personally restore, establish, strengthen, and support you." That covers it, doesn't it? The grace of our Lord God will personally restore and establish and strengthen and support you. God's grace, and I want us to forget it, God's grace is all that we need to make it. His grace is sufficient. He will strengthen us, give us what we need to make the journey. And I think about John and his handicap. But God's grace is sufficient for you, John. God's grace will keep you. God has the power to heal you. But even not, if He doesn't, His grace is sufficient to help you. And some of you don't know John. John is one of the workingest men to be in a wheelchair I ever seen. He grew a garden this year that outshone all the neighbors. Really? One hand with a hoe. God's grace gives us what we need. The Bible says, because of sin, we have fallen short of the glory of God. But according to what God said here, He will save us. He will restore us. He will supply the need for us to be victorious. As we go home tonight, I hope these thoughts will go with you. Sometimes we can't go back. We can't go back and change things that have happened, things that we might have done. But because of His grace, we can go on. God's grace will restore us and give us strength for the day. May God bless you.